Welcome to the Building Design Primetime Podcast, focused on providing valuable information for anyone looking to undertake a new build or extension project. We'll share our tips, tricks, and stories from a building designer's perspective.
Welcome to the Building Design Primetime Podcast. I'm your host, Amelia, and once again, we're welcomed by Frank Geskus.
Hey, Amelia. How are you?
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. It's always good. End of the week. And I was about to say, and you know what time of year it is.
What?
It's grand final tomorrow.
Oh.
AFL for other people.
Yeah. Oh. Should I be excited for that?
I don't know. It depends who you go for.
I'm not really into it. But to be fair, I did do the footy tipping with the rest of the team. I got third. I was pretty happy with that.
Well done.
For someone that doesn't even follow football, I think I did not a bad job.
So who's your team then?
Oh, look, I guess Essendon would be the one that I've gone for since I was young.
Well, I can't talk. Kangaroos.
Oh.
Tough year.
They say that every year.
Yeah. You know what my favourite saying is? Oh, we're rebuilding.
Imagine if you said that to all your clients.
Oh, yeah.
That would be, you'd have no business.
Oh, yeah, I'm rebuilding. Yeah. Not a great marketing move, that one.
No, not at all. So we've got another exciting topic to talk about today. Our frescoes. Yeah.
Well, a bit more than our frescoes. We're looking at outdoor spaces and... Our fresco is one part, but what about all the other things around your house or outdoor?
Exactly. All of that stuff. Patios, outdoor kitchens. What else have you got on your list?
Ooh. Well, you just got your normal just roof over your patio or just having a patio area. Our fresco is the word everyone loves to use. Your shade tiles, verandas, just got your deck or multiple level deck. You got your fire pit. You got outdoor barbecue. You could have a pool, spa, swim spa, outdoor kitchen.
Pizza oven.
Or smokers.
Smokers, exactly.
In your kitchen. You know, we were just talking about that before. So the outdoor space, because in Australia we love our outdoor space, even in Tassie here where it can be a little bit fresh. The only difference, we had a lot of radiant heaters in our alfrescos.
Yes.
So alfrescos, great thing to have on your house. Outdoor space. Everyone, I love the variety of type of outdoor spaces people get creative with. You know, often carports converted into outdoor spaces and they make it their own space. It's wonderful. Obviously, with a lot of new homes we do, you know, extra roof space as part of the house, and people call that alfrescos. And normally, if we're going purely talking about that topic, coming directly off your living space.
Yes.
So it's like an outdoor dining area and, if you wish, an outdoor kitchen with a fridge, a sink, a smoker, a barbecue and a range hood. Yeah. And they're pretty expensive doing it that way because it's all outdoors. But, we did one for one customer. It was fully enclosed with big bifold doors on it.
Yes, I've been to that one recently and it came up absolutely phenomenal. It looks amazing.
With the ceiling lining and the skylights and everything lined up with all the joinery and the wall panelling.
Yeah, it looked amazing. What I also loved about it is that project was an extension and it blended just so beautifully in with the rest of the house. You wouldn't even know that it was an extension.
Yeah. You know, when they came to us, this is that's what they wanted. They needed to blend in and also extending the lounge room as well.
Yes.
And that also helped with the type of roof. It had a multiple skillion roof on it, but it just worked. It could just extend it easily, so it just integrated really nice. But what about the kitchen in that one?
Yes, that was insane. Beautiful, lots of bench space, fridges.
But they live out there.
Yeah.
Even in winter, they're out there. They love it.
They said they have dinner out there all the time.
Yeah, that's what they do. They use their dining room.
Yep.
So everyone's different in how you want to work too and what you want to cook. You know, some people just love being on the barbecue or, as I mentioned before, the smoker, the pizza oven, the variety of things you can cook on. And everyone gets creative. And everyone, you know, love your tucker.
Oh, yeah. You know, could go on about that all day.
I could.
The foodie over here.
Love a good bit of tucker. The thing is there is it makes it so individualistic. So with this one in particular, the alfresco, it was them to a T. That's what they're all about. I've seen other ones that we've done integrated into houses, bifolds, integrated range hoods, barbecues, and it's just another part of the space which you can either make indoor or outdoor. And in Tasmania, you have to make it indoor or outdoor if you're spending that kind of money. There's plenty of places where we've just got a treaded pine frame, laser light roof, and they've got their space there, got a TV hanging off the wall, they've got an outdoor lounge, barbecue in the corner. Great.
And some people choose to close it in with, you know, those sort of blinds or you know, anything like that, rather than actually enclosing it with walls.
Yeah, well, you make a good point there. We had a whole run there years ago where you're just doing a treated pine roof off the side and they said, oh, we're going to put blinds up. Right. And I said, we worked with what were the standard blinds available. You could get at the hardware store, Spotlight, you could buy those standard blinds. So we actually designed the whole outdoor areas based on these blinds to the widths.
So that they would fit.
So they fit, so you didn't have to get custom blinds made. And then you built, got all the posts in the right position, built the frame.
Easy.
Yeah, just need a bit of planning beforehand. But we knew what they wanted to do. They were clear what they wanted to use the space for. So the blinds are a great option, and there's heaps of options there. I've had other ones where we just put two sides on and a wall up 1 metre and then glass because they're sitting high, so control the wind coming to their space.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I think so. I'm just designed one at the moment where our fresco, it's open on one side, barbecue, but big sliding windows because it's 5 metres above the ground, and they're putting a bench at one of the windows. So you're at a cafe. So,
wow.
And then you put seats in front of it so you can open all the windows, look at the view. If it's too windy and horrible, close the windows. You can still do that.
Yeah, nice.
But we love our radiant heaters, so it can warm us up a little bit. And they work great.
They do, yes.
And then you look at all the furniture. One tip when you're designing these spaces, they have to be big. Because I don't know if you notice, outdoor furniture is generally bigger than your indoor furniture.
They're quite bulky.
They're very bulky. And your space around, and when you have, especially in summer, you're having a get-together, you want a lot more space to move and socialise because it's more of a party atmosphere, then you've got to make them big. So same with decks. We advise people that there are minimum sizes for decks if you're going to put a table and chair set out there. You know, one thing that's underdone, put a cupboard, an external cupboard, in your alfresco or near your deck. So then all your cushions and stuff can go in the cupboard.
Oh, that's a good idea. Away from the weather.
Yeah, away from the weather. Put it in there, put it in the cupboard, done. Otherwise, it's just going to deteriorate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a little tip there, depending how that works. Also, I've seen some crazy ones with these huge pizza ovens, you know, big concrete behemoths, and they look awesome, but now you get these really small ones, and they work great too.
Yeah, and they're quite cost-effective now too.
Yeah. Well, my brother-in-law, he made one. It was a barrel-style pizza oven. This thing looks awesome.
Did he build it?
He built it.
Oh, wow.
He's a smart guy. And he built a big brick base, concrete slab, and then treated it for the heat, and then built this barrel with fire bricks, and then put another sacrificial, so it's getting moss and stuff on the outside.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Very authentic.
Yeah, it was. And then concrete shelf at the front, and his stainless door on it, and yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's very
cool. Does it make good pizzas, though?
It makes good pizzas, roasts, bread, roast veggies, all sorts of stuff in there.
Wow.
It is, because it's so big. And you can play with the heat, you know, moving. I don't know how it all works, but you show me. You can obviously let it have the fire in there for a whole day and it holds the heat. And then you have a small fire going in the corner and different temperatures.
You're making me hungry now.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, it's Friday afternoon too.
It is, yeah.
Yes. It's a great central place and then everyone sits around and, yeah, cook the food, bring it out.
Yum.
You're the focal point of the get-together.
Very cool. Now, what about when it comes to going through planning? Like what are the regulations around, you know, what sort of alfresco areas do you need approval for?
In Tasmania, anything with a roof, you need a permit. Collects water, you need a permit for it.
Yeah, right.
Simple as that. If it's extended off the house, if it's treated pine frame, you know, it could be some of these Bondor, they have these roof systems, very nice. Yep, all need permits. Sometimes need planning, but depends on setbacks to boundaries. We've spoken about this before. I'm not going to bore you with that again. But it is getting a professional to check out. Will it fit? Does it meet the requirements? And you'll need a building and plumbing permit for it as well.
So that doesn't matter what size it is?
No.
As long as it's got a roof, pretty much guaranteed you need a permit?
Pretty well. Unless it's 3 metres by 3 metres. And it's proprietary, so you buy a kit.
Okay, yeah.
And it's not greater than 2.1 metres.
Mm-hmm.
which then is hiding a door, so it's useless.
There's a clause.
You can put a garden shed without a permit.
Yes.
You're on your property.
Yeah.
You can't build over a pipe or anything like that. But anyway, you just need a permit for all this stuff. And a lot of people just build stuff. We've had to fix a few up where they've just built it.
We've talked about illegal works before.
Yeah, exactly. And everyone thinks, oh, deck is not a problem. And in Tassie, if it's under a metre, you're fine. You don't need a permit. Make sure it doesn't build over a pipe. What I mean by that, a sewer or a stormwater main. Same with, it can't be within a metre of the boundary and not in a bushfire area.
Mm-hmm.
Meet those, you can go build under a metre. Yeah. Anything above that, you've got to get a designer or an architect in. But you know, the other thing we didn't talk about, which is part of your outdoor space, and a lot of people are doing this, even in Tassie, adding the pool or the spa as part of that.
We did actually do that for a project recently that had an extension, and the pool, I've got to say, that whole area looks phenomenal.
Mm.
Especially with the breezeway that was designed as well. Yeah. It looks really good. Yeah, the breezeway really was pretty
wild. But a lot of people are popping pools in. Ever since COVID, there's been the amount of pools going in, it's been unbelievable.
I find that insane because there's probably only 2 or 3 months of the year you'd even be in the pool probably.
Oh, true, but we're building quite a few, putting a pool house around it. They're a bit of the exception, very expensive to do, but you want to be committed to your swimming.
Yeah, and if it's indoors, I don't know if we've talked about this before, but ventilation is such a massive, massive issue with indoor pools.
Oh, huge, because just imagine you're heating up all this water, it's going to release moisture into the air. Moisture in buildings will destroy the structure of a building. It'll wreck all your light fittings, door handles, you name it. It'll ruin everything in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to be controlled, dealt with. And trust me, a pool blanket doesn't do it.
No, definitely not. I actually went to an open home last weekend.
Yep.
And it had an indoor pool. I looked at the roof and you could see that they'd tried to clean some sort of moisture damage.
Or mildew.
Yeah, something that... But all they had in that whole space, they just had the one normal standard size door. Because I said, oh,
are they... No windows?
Oh, I didn't see any that were opening.
Wow.
I mean, I could be wrong, but
you've got to get the moisture out.
Yeah, I actually asked, are those windows, are they bifold? And they said no. So I was really shocked.
And depending on the construction, because if it's moisture, imagine what it's like with a piece of timber.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know. So... lots of tips and tricks with how to design a pool house. And maybe that's another podcast later on. Won't get into that today. But things to look out for, because moisture will destroy your house. Very simple.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. But what's cool, because we've done a few where you've got the outdoor kitchen area, alfresco-y area, space, you've got a pool or a swim spa. We did one with vergolas.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing. A vergola is a... roofed area where the roof is made of blades and they're motorised, so it keeps all the water off, and then you press a button, the motors make the blades go vertical, horizontal keeps the water out, it goes vertical, it lets all the sunlight in.
Yes, I have seen those.
Yeah, there's a couple of other, that's the most popular one, very, very cool. We did this one, we ended up putting two of these huge ones in, big steel structure holding it, part of their whole alfresco, outdoor barbecue. Then you went up steps to this swim spa.
Oh, nice.
A big fiberglass. It had its own IP address, this thing. I kid you not. And they dropped it in, all concrete surround, exposed aggregate, glass balustrades. Had to build tunnels underneath so they can go service all the pumps, and had Wi-Fi connection. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, this thing was off its head. It was magnificent. And they had this vision and how to do the landscaping, the back of the house. They had a fireplace a bit further away next to the barbecue as well, so they could do roasts on the fire. That's what they wanted to do. But it was brilliant. It was a lot of fun doing that project.
Yeah, it sounds very cool. And the rest of the house sounds really cool too.
And they had a landscape architect do all the design around, and it worked with what we designed. And it was just very well done. Attention to detail, how you do your concrete, retaining walls. And the other thing with pools, you've got to deal with all the balustrading, you know, the safety balustrading around pools, spas, hot tubs, all those. You integrate that nicely in your backyard and it flows from space to space. It can look and function really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of outdoor spaces. Our fresco is only one of them.
Yeah, very true.
The fire pit.
Yes. I like the fire pit area.
I like that too. Mm. And a lot of people like like a fire pot, you know, when you go camping and stuff, but at home having a fire pit is very cool.
Very cool. Especially, I know Nick's a fan of that.
Yeah, it's just like sitting around a fire, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's another outdoor space that can be considered as part of your, and that's part of your whole landscaping. Imagine, you know, tying in your living area into your outdoor space.
Oh, it all flows on, doesn't it?
It can do. Yeah. You just need to have that imagination or get someone to help you with that. There's no shortage of it. And Australians love being outdoors.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Might have the veggie patch. It's whatever you like.
Yeah.
So all this stuff needs permits, you know, for a builder to do it. It's got to have some drawings to work off, you know, to make it so they understand it. Need plumbing permits for a lot of these with roof structures. Like I said, decks under a metre here, don't need it if you meet the basic requirements. And another one that's underrated is a veranda.
Yes.
It's classic.
Very classic. Very classic Australian, isn't it?
Yeah. And they're very useful. They're great spaces. And also how they can change the front of a house too. But then you've got other ones, you put the veranda all the way around. That's a classic rural style.
Yeah, definitely.
House. Very useful space. And we still do a lot of that with the rural houses to give weather protection. You know, don't want to get the boots wet at the back door.
Exactly.
So lots of outdoor spaces. Yeah. What is your dream for outdoor spaces at your place?
Oh, I think an entertaining area for me. I've looked at sort of my backyard and I actually don't have an undercover area at my house at all for entertaining. I've got like this little tiny sort of back area that goes down a ramp when you first go out the back door that's enclosed. And then there's nowhere else. There's nowhere to sit. So yeah, I've sort of mapped out an area of where I'd like to put a deck, and I even considered in one area putting a little like an outdoor kind of multi-purpose space, like a either an office or like a separate lounge area.
Like a studio.
Yeah, a little studio. Exactly.
That's actually a really good point you make, because you can get these, call them pods, transportable buildings, you can do that.
Exactly.
And it's a cool idea. And you could certainly have a barbecue the outside, put a roof over it, whatever you like. So you actually make a bit of a space. We did that with quite a number of pools, and they built their own gazebo with a building off the end.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Again, you need permits for all that. You can buy these types of structures from manufacturers, make sure they have the correct permits that come with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a key thing, because we've had it where people are selling these things on Gumtree and the local rag. They're selling you something, but they don't actually have the right permits.
For Australia, do you mean?
Tasmania even.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Go on Gumtree, go on all sorts of, you know, Facebook Marketplace, whatever you like, and you'll find transportable buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Do not ever buy it without investigating what permits you need. Too many people, I've had to fix a few up, and some we can't help them because they don't have the correct permits in place, like containers, shipping containers.
Yes, we've had a few inquiries about those as well.
Yep, exactly. And we've had to draw some up, and they had to be built from scratch. Fine, easy, we can get all the permits sorted for it. But if a manufacturer's doing it, they should apply all the correct permits. And in Tasmania, that is a Form 35 and a 55. Yeah. So be aware when you buy stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That could be an interesting topic. Transportables.
Yeah, I think we've got someone we can talk to about that as well.
We do.
We do.
You know, what's the right way to do it and what's the wrong way of doing it?
Yeah.
Because, and also, don't buy a second-hand one without the right paperwork.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
What about materials? This is another thing that I feel like is pretty important when it comes to an outdoor space, particularly, I guess I'm thinking more about entertaining areas. You've sort of got your decking.
Well, you actually talk about materials. What do you build the deck out of normally?
Timber.
Yep.
Yeah.
Treated pine, so it's outside. But the decking boards on top is the thing that makes it. So you can go treated pine, that's fine. Stain it, do whatever you like. But to be fair, it's a piece of pine, so radiata pine, and it can twist and shrink like you wouldn't believe, and looks like a dog's hind leg, and looks wonderful when you get it the first time. If you oil it, stain it, oh, it's a lot of maintenance. Massive.
And it looks pretty shabby.
Oh, it
after
can do.
Yeah, after a few years, if it's not well maintained, it's battled the weather.
But also they twist and they can pop up screws and nails and not sit nicely anymore and they cup. And it's no different because it's a natural product, but it's no different with other decking products. You know, you've got your hardwoods, you've got your Palawa, Marbu, all sorts of timbers you can get, and there's all stuff, new stuff coming in and out. The best stuff I've seen, though, is the hybrids.
Yeah, right.
The new hybrids are very, very good, where the combination of plastic and sawdust recycled make these decking boards. They hold their colour really well. You don't have to stain them, paint them, whatever you like.
Sounds a lot more durable.
Yep, and a fair bit more expensive. Mm-hmm. But you're paying for something that's going to last a lot longer.
The longevity.
Longer. Yeah. Mm. Materials are alfresco, like I've already mentioned, like roofs, treated pine roof. Most of them are built out of treated pine because they're going outside. Sometimes we do them out of high span, which is laminate veneer lumber. The only thing, you have to protect it from the weather. So if you're doing a nice job, you might put a ceiling in it, put some downlights, might put a fan in there, we already spoke about the heaters.
Yes.
Putting them in, and that makes it look really neat. And with the lighting, makes it a lot more visually appealing at night and it functional. Whether you want laser light in there to let natural lighting because it affects the rooms that it's on, that's also a consideration. The other things you've got to consider is staircases and things like that. Balustrades. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's because most of the time... Well,
they're raised.
Well, also in Tassie, we're all living in valleys and hills and stuff, so we're always out off the ground generally. So you've got to choose what type of handrail balustrade, to protect yourself. So glass is obviously very popular. Not much fun when you've got a dog with a snotty nose on the wall. It's true, you got to clean it.
Oh, yeah.
You can say that same for a two-year-old out there. But yeah,
true.
But glass is glass. You've got to clean it to make it look nice.
Yeah, fingerprints.
Oh, and the rest of it, it's just little smears and whatever on there. And normally they've got stainless steel fittings on it, so they last really well. Stainless steel wire. Mm-hmm. That's a good way of doing it. You can't use that on really high decks because kids can climb it.
Oh, and
there's a rule
for
about
safety.
That. For safety mm-hmm. reasons. Steel, aluminium, handrails, even just doing a timber handrail, depending on what you're doing. There's lots of options there, but it depends on the style, how it fits with your house, that type of stuff. And also, if you've got a really cool view, if you're sitting down, you want to be able to look through it, glass is a very good option, if you're willing to clean it.
That's a good point. Do you want something that you can see through?
Same with when you're inside the house, sitting down, you look out. Are you looking through steel, aluminium, wire, timber, or you're looking through glass.
Mm-hmm.
Glass is a premium product, but it's still very popular because it gives great results of a really clean look.
Yes.
So the things to consider, that could be like an alfresco, which is a part deck as well, and sitting above the ground at a reasonable height, over a metre, you need that. So that's the thing to point out, anything over a metre, you need something to restrain you from falling off the side. Especially when you've had a couple.
You sound like you have experience with
that. Not at all, no. Early on, a lot of people used to do timber balustrades and handrails, and one advantage of that is that we used to put bigger handrails on top, like put a 140 or 190 piece of timber on top.
Yeah, nice and wide.
Yep, so you can leave your stubby on there and your plate of food.
Oh dear, priorities.
Well, it's practical.
I guess so. I guess it's pretty creative.
Well, you can't do that with glass, can you?
True, very true. You can't do it with glass.
So these are little things that we pick up as well. But we've done that at cellar doors.
Yes.
So we've done that, exactly that. So you can put the wine glasses on their handrails
mm-hmm.
when you're standing around enjoying the view. So lots of options there.
Heaps of options.
And Claire, I mentioned before, Bondor have these solid panels that they use for roofs, very clean looking, seriously supported with a structure. That's a very nice finish. Then you got the other extreme where people actually, we used a James Hardie matrix products in the alfresco we mentioned before, which has got grooves between each panel, and then you line all the grooves up with the wall paneling, and like it's decorated inside by the panels of the cladding on the inside.
Oh, on the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And then you match it up with it going outside.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. Timber paneling. Yeah, obviously that's quite popular. Fish. A couple of my favourite jobs we did was a big roofed area with a huge fireplace in it.
Yeah, cool.
No barbecue, big fireplace. And they got big couches, TVs on the wall,
mm-hmm.
and that's their thing.
Well, we've been to that place where it's got the double-sided fireplace, so it's the inside fireplace, and then you go outside and it had the big undercover deck area.
Yeah, that's right.
And that was beautiful, really nice, done in like a stone or something similar.
Yeah, stone on the outside of the chimney, but the two-way fireplace was very unique.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, so there's so much information on the internet too, on being creative with the outdoor spaces too. So don't be scared asking a designer to show these pictures, oh, this is what I want to do. Now, you may not know how much it costs, but if you don't ask, you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So any designer and architect will be able to help you put all that stuff together. And maybe also what's really cool working with a landscape architect.
That's a good point.
To then get your whole backyard, front yard, side, whatever it is, to just blend with the house and just make it a lovely place to live at, you know, outdoors. So lots to think about and get excited about.
Yeah, I do love a good outdoor area.
We're going to have a look at your place, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah, probably. Good idea. I have a big family, so it'd be nice to host them somewhere outside.
We have to sort that out, aren't we?
I've got a little balcony on the second story, but it's probably only like maybe a metre wide, yeah. So it doesn't really fit a table or anything.
No, but like I've got a huge deck off the back of my house because it's a steep site and it worked really was 50 square metres. And I'm told Chris was our place, we ended up getting all these tables put together, nose to tail, all these chairs, and I think we had about 34 people. That's right, 34 people one time for Christmas.
Oh, wow, on the deck.
On the deck, big long table, gazebos over the top of it, temporary gazebos, and fairy lights and all that, and just made it a fun place for Christmas.
Yeah, nice.
And that was just on the fly. That was without a proper alfresco roof or anything like that, but you just made it your own.
Yeah, they're definitely very popular spaces. You know, you rarely see a design that doesn't have some kind of outdoor area.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, and you'll see that on our website too. You know, a lot of the houses, there's always an outdoor space.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so what are the take-home points for anyone looking to either extend or build brand new and want to get some advice on outdoor spaces?
I'd say look around on the net. Get your ideas, take photos and sketch your own ideas of how you want it to work, you know. A lot of people do that. They'll say, oh, I want a roof this big, I want a deck this big, I want to put a barbecue here, I want a stairs here and integrate to the lawn here. That's fine. And then you need to bring that to a designer or an architect, whoever you wish to choose to use, and then from there they can work out what you can and can't do. Also, you've got to think, one of the trickiest things when you're building a new roof off an existing house is what type of roof. Mm-hmm. Because depending what type of your existing house has a big bearing on how your new roof blends in or attaches. And to be fair, a lot of them don't blend in very nicely.
Yeah.
But there are means and ways of doing it, but it still gives you the functional space. People look past some of that aesthetics of how it joins in and they just love the space that they have.
Sure.
And there's big price differences between them, and that's something that needs to be worked out as well as you're going through that design process. And, yeah, it's just finding what you like.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to, your budget and your preferences for what you like.
Definitely, definitely. And to be fair, if you look at the total budget that you spend on this, it's not huge compared to other parts of your house. Still a lot, but it's not massive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not like extending your house.
And, I mean, if you're going to build something brand new, you could even make provisions for the drawings to be done for an alfresco to be done later.
Yes and no. Yes, you can be done, but sometimes it doesn't actually save you a lot of money because a lot of double handling.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
So if you can do it straight away, I'd always recommend because you're always breaking something and cracking through.
Yeah,
and
true.
It's hard to blend depending on the type of roof you have and what's on the ground as well. I'd always try and do it straight away. But we do it to all these 60s, 70s, 80s houses, putting our frescoes and decks and roof spaces and that, and we make it work. But you're always looking at the space when you're in there, not necessarily how it joins to the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Them's the challenges, trying to make it work blending to the house.
Yeah, that is the challenge, not just for our frescoes, but kind of any extension, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Even new builds have their challenges.
Yeah, very much so.
All right, well, we might wrap it up there, folks. Thanks again, Frank, for joining us.
Thanks, Amelia.
And we'll see you again. Thanks for listening to the Building Design Primetime Podcast.
See ya.
You're listening to the Building Design Prime Time Podcast.